You're listening to the Cultural Hall Podcast with your host, Richie T. Stedman and Lauren Johnson. It's a podcast about Mormon stuff.
So you're listening to a podcast with your host, Lauren Johnson and Richie T. Interviewing people and talking about conference. It's a Mormon thing. It's a Cultural Hall, so let's begin now.
Time again for another episode of The Cultural Hall, episode 17, and on the show here with us in just a little bit, it is Tom Wirth and Full Circle, a new band, LDS Christian earring, not Christian earring, but Christian earring band.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what does earring mean?
No, just Christian earring.
Okay. Yeah.
I like your necklace today. The smaller one, not the bigger one.
Oh, thanks.
That's
yeah,
cool.
I'm wearing
a few. Whenever you move your neck, the little medallion thing goes up and down. So thank you for wearing that.
Oh, anytime. Yeah,
it's moving up and down now, too.
What do you mean?
You get the little...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a... Okay. Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it a face on it? What is that thing?
Yeah.
An opal? Is it a young lady's medallion? What is it?
Yeah, it's I can't remember the name, but you know the Victorian woman on
sure.
the brooch.
Yeah, you bet.
It's like a mini one of those.
Yeah, on a necklace.
Yeah.
Okay. like you do. Okay,
yeah.
So let's get to some email. Only short articles of news and an email today. This is an email from Kimball. Kimball writes, "Hey Richie, Lauren. First off, love the show.
Thank you,
I enjoy Kimball. Your conversations and the guests that you've had on. It's a show that both my wife and I can listen to." And I really appreciate that. And then he has a guest suggestion. He wants us to get on the guys from Vocal Point.
Oh yeah.
And so there, you know, they got kicked off. There's some speculation as to whether or not that might have been because of their morals or because of something background of the show, but certainly interesting. So yes, Kimball got your email. He went to theculturalhall.com, filled out the little thing that says contact us, and we'll share your email on the show. Kimball, I agree with you. That would make a great guest. Thank you for emailing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Let's do news unless you've got something else.
No, let's go for news.
All right. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
All right. I'll start out first going on the idea of reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
Mormon voted off of Survivor. Send over to Redemption Island. That's right.
So much for the Mormon Alliance.
Right. So seven of the nine remaining survivors sent Don Meehan of South Jordan and an English professor at Brigham Young University to Redemption Island.
Ugh.
So there was some thought that Meehan could rule the whole thing because of her power. But
not anymore.
Sent to Redemption Island.
But we do have one Mormon left. Is that right?
Right. Okay. If I understand correctly, there was two. Now there's only one.
Yeah.
So so that's reality TV.
Yeah, well, I have a story about a new Mormon monument to the three witnesses of the Book of Mormon. Richmond, Missouri, a granite monument in Pioneer Cemetery here memorializing the three witnesses to the Book of Mormon was celebrated Saturday for its 100 years of existence. Hours later, a new monument was dedicated in Liberty, 30 miles to the west, honoring the eight additional witnesses who attested that they saw and handled the metal plates from which Joseph Smith Jr. said he translated the Book of Scripture by the power and gift of God. The testimony of the three witnesses and the separate testimony of the eight witnesses are published today as an introductory content to each edition of the Book of Mormon. Some 150 spectators assembled in Richmond to listen to Mormon scholars from BYU and officers from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Community of Christ to discuss the emergence of the Book of Mormon in 1829 and events surrounding the placement of the monument in 1911. Located near the grave site of Oliver Cowdery, the monument bears his name as well as those of his two fellow witnesses, David Whitmer and Martin Harris. There you go. I can't remember which episode it was, but we were struggling to remember all three. Yeah, Martin Harris. Whitmer's grave is in the city cemetery, not far from the monument location, and Harris's grave is in Clarkson, Cache County, Utah. "You realize where we are here on sacred ground," said Susan Easton Black, a Brigham Young University professor of church history and doctrine, as she sketched the history of the three witnesses in remarks to the audience. She spoke of the three men being chosen through revelation to Joseph Smith to fulfill the function of the three special witnesses mentioned in the Book of Mormon manuscript. She described their existence of being visited by an angel and showed them the plates. It is an honor this day to remember the Book of Mormon and their testimony of the sacred work, Black said. That's so cool. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Have you ever been out there before, Liberty?
Yeah, I have. Right after my mission in Kirtland, I had a friend living out in Kansas City. So I went and visited her, and we went up and saw all the church sites.
Out in Kansas City, they've got some crazy little women there, and I'm going to get me one.
Oh, yeah?
It's a song. Sorry.
Okay.
As soon as someone says Kansas City, my mind immediately goes, going to Kansas City, here I come. It's not important, but I know someone listening to this podcast went, I get it. I know that song.
Someone out there.
A couple other things, just brief things. LDS Business College, celebrating 125 years.
Really?
That's a big deal right here in Salt Lake. It culminated a year of celebrating its 125th anniversary with a founder's reception this last Friday with three of the school presidents. There have been 12 presidents in all. Started back in 1886. And it's just right down here in downtown Salt Lake, 51 South State Street was where it first started, in the basement of Social Hall, back on Social Hall Avenue. And it's now at its current enrollment of 2,000 students from 50 states and more than 60 different countries. To date, the college has graduated almost 100,000 students. So
wow.
Way to go, LDS Business
way to
College.
Go.
Other things as far as just a brief mention, the other night there was a debate in Iowa in which both Mitt Romney and John Huntsman Jr. decided not to go. They decided to bow out of that a little bit. The thought was that in that specific part of Iowa, there wouldn't be anything that they would ask them that wouldn't be about their Mormonism. So they said, you know what? It's not about that to us. We're bailing. So they did not attend that that debate the other night. The next GOP debate, if you're interested, November 22nd at the DAR Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C.
Which will be over once this podcast is up.
Yeah.
But
which is tonight. Which is tonight.
Which I'm going to be watching. I love the presidential debates. It's like my bachelorette, I say, because I'm not into the bachelorette. But everyone, you know, Facebook, you know when the season of the bachelorette starts because Facebook statuses swirl with bachelorette commentary. I'm a presidential debates kind of a girl.
Can I ask you, do you really mean that? That the presidential debate is really like your bachelorette?
Well, it's my reality show that I can't get enough of.
Okay.
That's what I mean by that. That's all.
Okay.
That's the comparison.
Okay.
It's good stuff, though.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of drama.
There is.
I know.
And it's real drama.
Yeah.
It's exciting. You can't edit it. You know, it's unedited real drama. Okay. This is an opinion that I have here, an opinion article. It's by Joanna Brooks, who is Ask Mormon Girl, and she blogs about this. So a question came in from a girl, and I will read the question. I'm going to read her answer. I would love to know listeners' opinions about her answer. So let me say, love and marriage. How will my family deal if I marry outside the faith is a question by this woman. She says, despite being born and raised in the church, I struggle to see myself married to a Mormon in a temple marriage. I have always been most comfortable in a relationship with someone who is not a member of my faith, but who is open to many questions, struggles, doubts, and beliefs, and is confident and comfortable allowing me to navigate my own spiritual journey, which is ultimately based on LDS belief, although a very non-orthodox rendering of the belief. My parents can't let go of the must marry in the temple idea and oftentimes fail to even acknowledge the existence of my relationships. I would like to ultimately believe that if that person I am choosing to be in a relationship with is someone who is worth my time and effort, then once my parents and extended family get to know them, they'd recognize he is not all that bad despite having a different stamp on his baptismal certificate. About to potentially embark on a new relationship, again with another non-LDS individual, I'm excited at the relationship aspect, but apprehensive knowing everything I must hear my parents say once again. Sometimes it would just be nice to have family support. What advice do you have for finding strength to move forward with what works for you personally, but what your family is so against? What things are crucial to making interfaith relationships work? This is Joanna's answer. Sister Brooks. Mormon doctrine teaches that a temple marriage is essential to entering the highest degree of heaven, and I can't tell you not to aim for that. But what I can tell you is that my own path led another way. I, too, am an unorthodox Mormon. I, too, sense that my own spiritual journey would make for a difficult marriage, a burden even to an Orthodox Mormon man, and I did marry outside my faith to a Jewish man who has been a superb partner and father and a true ally in matters ally in matters spiritual. And yes, my marriage broke my parents' heart and has taken years for everyone to get comfortable with the situation, and sometimes it's uncomfortable still. Over the years, I have seen some Mormon parents idolize their children's temple marriages as if getting the kids to the altar was a personal achievement. I have also seen Orthodox Mormon parents continue heavy involvement in the lives and even the marriages of their adult children. And I remember this bit of ancient wisdom. Therefore shall a man leave mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Genesis 2:24. At some point we must leave home, and this I have come to understand as one of the reasons the Jewish wedding ceremony involves the breaking of glass. Sometimes getting married breaks your parents' heart. That's just the way it is. This is your life, and you must live it with as much dignity, honor, and joy as possible. You deserve to find someone to share your life with, and you deserve to feel God's love regardless of who you marry. Don't forget, after all, that God also has massive love for the one you marry, whatever his religion, if any. What makes a successful interfaith marriage? That much I'm still learning every day, as marriages always work. But if you find yourself attracted to a non-LDS man, I would encourage you to look for the same character traits that you would expect of Mormon: honesty, fidelity, reliability, kindness, intelligence, work ethic, and humor. Humor, especially a good laugh, can save the day. Which clinched it for me with my husband-to-be was the fact that he signed up for every picket shift when our teaching assignment union went on strike, and also volunteered to ferry water from picket station to picket station. This, I thought to myself, watching him cheerfully unload the water from his truck under the blazing sun, is a man who would help bring a wagon train across the plains. We all deserve someone to cross the plains with. Take heart and have the courage to keep loving your family no matter how they respond to you. What do you think?
I think that I think the point that she makes about, you know, it is all about the journey. I think that, I don't know. I don't know.
You're torn.
I am torn. Certainly I believe in the doctrine that, you know, that you need to be married in the temple in order to be with that person for all of eternity. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it's a good idea for a man or woman to be alone. So I would suppose that I'm torn. I think that certainly if the option is to not have anyone ever in this life or otherwise, or to have someone who isn't a member of the faith, I think that the better option is to learn to grow and to have those experiences with someone who isn't of our faith, you know, have that experience that way. They always talk about, you know, that people will have the opportunity to accept the gospel in the life after, and maybe that's something that person would then take the opportunity to do.
Everyone evolves.
But I think that would be a tough situation to be in. Certainly, I mean, my wife and I aren't sealed at this point, and that, although both of us Mormon, you know, that's something that for me, just in being in that situation, is difficult for me, where her and I don't have that, you know, binding us together. That's a difficult situation mm-hmm. for me almost on a daily basis, where, you know, that's something that, that I would really like and we're working, you know, to try and be able to do,
yeah.
but hasn't occurred at this point.
Right. Yeah. I guess you could say I'm torn too. I felt Joanna was a little torn. The first thing she said was, I can't tell you not to aim for a celestial marriage. But then went on, I think, you know, setting that foundation, but A, B, C, and D, this is what you're going to have to do if another option comes your way.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. And I agree with you. To be alone or to be with someone that's not LDS. And I think there are certain reasons that people don't marry LDS and blessings come from it. I think a perfect example is Larry King married a Mormon woman.
Sure.
He is Jewish. And through that relationship, President Hinckley became Larry King's good friend and was on his show several times and interviewed, and I think inspired a lot of people. I don't know. But that came from an interfaith marriage, that blessing.
Are you going to date a non-member? Is that what this is leading to? Lauren, did you
meet
somebody?
Do you know what? I went on a date last week with a non-member.
How was that?
It was really fun.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
See? Marry him. There, take that advice.
now Richie isn't too torn. He's like, get yourself married.
Just, you know, at this point, Lauren, wherever you can get it, Mormon or not, however it works.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Richie.
Whoever it is. if he asks. Okay. You know what? Even if he doesn't.
So glad we had this talk.
Even if he doesn't ask.
Just do it.
Just do it.
What just Sherry do it.
Yeah. What are we doing here at this courthouse? Shh. Let's just say I do. Just do what you're supposed to.
Speaking of Sherry do it, she needs to Sherry do it.
Yeah.
Too.
What are you calling her out? I don't think you have any
sister
place.
Sister do?
Don't you have to be married to call out single people? Don't you have to be married to call them out?
No.
Okay, call her out. Do it one more
sister
time.
Sister do? What do you think about Sister Brooke's article? What do you think? Would you rather be alone or would you rather marry someone of a different faith? Go ahead.
That is the greatest impression and accent I've ever heard. Sister do. Let me tell you what's crazy. Okay, the Joseph Smith Project releases a new volume. That's right. A new volume. Volume 2, December 1841 through April 1843. The new book covers the early phase of Joseph Smith's time in Nauvoo, Illinois. Available now in bookstores. How awesome is that?
Freaking awesome.
So I probably am going to ask for that for Christmas. Do you have other quick things in news, or should I wrap this out?
Wrap it up, because I think we're behind time, right?
Yeah, a little bit. BYU has now fired Kendall Wilcox. If that name sounds familiar, we've talked to him about him on this podcast. He's the BYU TV employee who is widely known outside the BYU community for the work that he was doing on an independent documentary about being gay and being a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's a good friend of Mitch Main, good friend of John DeLynn. In that Circling the Wagons thing that occurred here in Salt Lake that John DeLynn was a part of, Kendall Wilcox was there filming his independent documentary. He now is no longer employed by Brigham Young University.
Don't you think that headline's a little misleading?
BYU fires openly gay film producer?
Well, I think it's misleading because it sounds like they are saying we fired him because he was openly gay, which is not the reason at all. If you read the article, it says that he missed a couple months of work. And he himself even says, yeah, they didn't fire me because I was gay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like this headline that's getting, you know, attention and everyone to read it. But in the end, it's, oh, BYU did not fire him because he was openly gay. And that's the more interesting subject, I think.
BYU cited certain tasks and communications that I had not performed to their liking, said Wilcox. I cited an increasingly hostile work environment over the last several months with which I refused to continue to engage. So there's obviously more going on than he just decided to stop going to work.
But it also says that he didn't talk about any hostile work environment to HR, if you keep reading.
Yep.
So different, yeah.
Hopefully we'll get him on. I've already contacted him and he's been back in touch, so hopefully he'll
be
on.
Interesting to hear his story.
Leave you with this. Think about this. If you were going to get a vasectomy, gentlemen, would you talk to your bishop about it before you did?
Well, you're the gentleman here. Would you?
More than 90% of the 809 Mormons who responded to an online survey at bycommonconsent.com said that they would not consult their LDS bishop before having a tubal ligation or vasectomy, even though the church's handbook says that they should.
Oh, it does say that they should.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't give a straight answer of whether you should or should not.
The LDS Church strongly discourages any surgical sterilization, the book says, and couples considering these procedures should consult with their bishop.
To make sure that it's the right option for them.
Even more startling is the survey's response on abortion. The majority, 69%, wouldn't talk to their bishop about having an abortion in the case of rape, incest, or health of the mother, the conditions under which the Utah-based faith said it would be okay. Even in these situations, the handbook is clear. Abortion is a most serious matter and should be considered only after the persons responsible have consulted with their bishop and received divine confirmation through prayer. Weigh in on it. I'm not going to say any more about it. I want to know what people think about that.
Can I say something about the abortion thing or no?
No, we'll address it next week.
Fine.
I want to know what people's opinions are on it, an abortion or a vasectomy.
Because he knows how persuasive I am, so he's silencing me.
I just want to leave it where it is, and we'll get into it. We'll make sure we dedicate a lot of time to the next time. So that is the articles of news coming up. We've got Tom Wirth and Full Circle. And make sure you follow us online. Go to Facebook and search The Cultural Hall. Follow us on Twitter @The Cultural Hall. And you can always get us online www.theculturalhall.com back in just a second with the second block of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. 576 to book your shoot today.
All right, it is the second block of the Cultural Hall, and you know, different location of the Cultural Hall this time.
It's kind of wigging me out, actually.
We moved big time. My voice just changed. We've moved big time because we've got not just one person that's a guest in the studio. We've got a full circle of people. See what I did there?
Like how you worked that in.
That was good. That was good.
It's Tom Worth and is it and the full circle or Tom Worth?
It's
and full circle.
And full circle.
And full circle.
No, the. I would have thought there was that little thrown in there.
Try to be a little different.
Yeah, and ours is the Cultural Hall. It's not just Cultural Hall. We emphasize that the.
Yeah.
So
big bands right now, the is really popular. So I'm glad you guys are kind of bucking that trend.
Out, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Get rid of the.
Where's the?
I'm already intrigued. I can't wait for this interview. No, the.
Is the way to go, guys.
Yeah. Did you get, I'm sure, let me ask you this, start off. I'm sure that was a discussion whether or not it should be and the full circle.
Actually, I didn't really give them a lot of choice, I gotta admit.
We didn't even
Hey, I'm thinking Tom Worth and full circle. What do you guys think? Like, yeah, okay. And that was pretty much it.
Really?
Yeah, they're very.
I actually said no, and he was like, too bad, it's gonna be that way anyway. I was like, where's the?
This sounds like mine and Richie's relationship.
Yeah. Hey, I was really thinking this, says Lauren. Nope.
No. Nope.
Okay.
Well, you're entitled to think that.
Well, that's sweet, Lauren. That's adorable that you think that.
Pat her on the top of the head. Tom Worth and
would
full.
Would you like a Your Special sticker?
I've got a gold one for you right here. Johnny K is here with us, and also Ashley, and then the self-titled Tom Worth of Tom Worth and Full Circle here with us. And this is exciting because this means we've grown up. And here's why. Because someone, Lindsay is her name, got on to theculturalhall.com and said, you know what? There's this great band that wants to, you know, we want to get on the show. And so it's kind of one of those things where instead of we're calling up people going, hey, please, 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 please come on our podcast. Please, we want you on so bad. Instead, it's like, hey, we'd
Let's
like to be on your podcast.
Relax.
It's the tide has turned.
Absolutely. We really have. Well, and... Are we 16 now?
No, we're 17 now.
Oh, we're 17.
Yeah, we're 17.
We're getting asked out on more dates here and there.
Yeah, some of us are.
Yeah.
Is that true according to your history?
No. So I'm like going through a terrible drought. It's bad.
Yeah. Wait. Awesome. I'm sorry to hear that.
Thanks.
Maybe if they know that you've met with Tom Worth in Full Circle, they'll start asking you out. Swarms.
Maybe. I think I'd still have to get rid of the Invisalign and all the retainers I wear.
Yeah,
too
and Ritalin. No,
moving
come on.
On.
No, she's a catch. She's a catch. Don't ask her out. So, Tom Worth, Full Circle. You guys have been together for how long?
Just a couple months. We're new.
3 months, yeah.
Yeah? And how did it come about? It sounds obviously like you kind of started the whole thing, Tom.
Yeah, what happened was there's kind of two separate stories. One is how the album came about, and one is how the group came about.
Okay. You tell us the band, and then Ashley, will you tell us how the album came about?
He'll have to tell you the album because it's his concept.
I think they know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can tell the band though.
Okay.
Can I tell the band?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, I was in Lake Powell with all of my friends, and I received a call from Tom. And actually, Tom and I knew each other from another local country singer named Charlie Jenkins. And Tom called me and said, hey, I've got this concept of I've got some songs, and I'd really love for you to be in my band. And I was in Lake Powell and feeling good, so I decided to say yes, that I would do that. And I don't know how you asked Johnny, so you'll have to tell that story.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, me and Tom lived in, I shouldn't say lived together in Nashville, but we knew each other in Nashville once upon a time. And then when we both moved back out here, he was just telling me how he had a project going on and how maybe I could be on, try to go through this rigorous audition process, and barely made it in after I competed against several others. So mine's a little bit different than Ashley's.
Oh, I got lucky.
So was it a genuine competition between Johnny and some other people, or you knew what you wanted?
I knew what I wanted. Nice. I approached it perfectly, for sure. I mean, I had a bunch of people I had in mind, and I prayed a lot about it, and these two were the names that popped in my head. So
that's cool. You prayed about it then.
Oh,
you really went to God and kind of said, is this the right thing to do?
Yeah. Well, which kind of brings to the first question, where it came from. The whole thing was really inspiration. About a year ago, I was sitting down to write a song for my buddy Jason Gere was writing an album about missionaries. He's the National Tribute guy.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and he was doing an album about missionaries, which is out now. But a year ago, he told me he was doing this. I'm like, I should write a song for his album. I mean, I'm a professional songwriter. That's what I do. And so I sat down to write a song for him because, you know, I'm a convert. And so I'd have a different perspective. And so I started, you know, just writing a song like I normally do. And all these ideas just started coming to my head. And I quickly realized these aren't my ideas. This is inspiration because I'm not that smart.
Yeah. I mean, well, I get that. So.
That is untrue. He actually went to MIT. He is a very smart guy. Oh, you can't say that.
You're too kind.
Yeah. Not me. Stop it. Stop it, Ashley. So they just kept coming to your mind, and then.
Yeah, over like a 4-hour period, almost more than half the album came to mind. Like, write about this, write about this, write about this. But I'm like, well, this really isn't what Jason's doing at all. What's this for? I'm like, well, wait a minute. Maybe I could just do a show for people that kind of just teaches the gospel, but in a way where people aren't feeling awkward and like, oh, I'm learning the gospel. And it's just kind of like about real life stuff and a lot about my conversion, a lot of things that I had to deal with. And, you know, my family, questions they ask me, like, why do you do this? And why do you do this? And what's this? And so I'm like, well, I could write an album about this stuff and sing it for people. Maybe, you know, bring the Spirit in their lives or, you know, teach them about Jesus Christ. And the Spirit's like, yeah, that's exactly what you should do.
Yes, that's why we're telling you this.
Duh,
Thank you.
And so I did it.
So how long have you been a member of the church for?
About 8 years.
And right. What's your conversion story? How did it work?
It's started with a girl, of course.
Yeah?
Yes.
And I moved to Nashville about 8 years ago. I was working. I actually said I went to MIT. I was actually working as a research scientist for MIT. And wanted to be a professional songwriter. That was my dream forever.
Yeah, a lot of professional songwriters go through MIT. That's a good
process.
Very
common. That's what got me into songwriting. Everyone else was. So, yeah. And one day I just made the proverbial leap of faith. I just quit my day job, packed my car, and drove to Nashville. I didn't know anyone except this one girl whom I had met at a country music convention like a year prior. So I pull into Nashville. I'm like, what do I do now? And I had this number. I'm like, hey, call this girl. And she was LDS. I didn't know that. I didn't even know what LDS was. I had no idea. I'd never heard of Mormons. I had no idea. And I'm like, hey, remember me? This is Tom. Met you a year ago. She's like, yeah, of course you remember me. I'm like, hey, I live here now. She's like, oh, let's get together. I'm like, okay.
She's like, where do you live? I'm in your front yard. I'm hoping to,
to
live here.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were just instant friends, and it was funny. I moved to Nashville on a Tuesday. And that Sunday, I actually ended up playing a fireside. So she says, hey, will you play guitar for me at a church thing that I'm doing Sunday? I'm like, yeah, because, you know, I like this girl. I'm like, I'll do anything.
Yeah.
And so she says.
So he comes in, you know, his flannel shirt and his, you know, his outdoor clothes ready for the fireside. Oh, guys. Wait, what's going on?
You're not too far off. Yeah.
Really?
So she says, yeah, we're playing a fireside at my steak center. Now, keep in mind, I have no idea what LDS is. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get like a steak dinner.
Yeah.
This is great. And there's going to be, you know, a cozy fireplace. This sounds awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I learned the song and I show up Sunday at our church building. And my first thought is it was such a disappointment. There was no steak dinner. It was a church building. So I'm like, all right, whatever. And then another thing that was very embarrassing. And so we go to the green room, which was the bishop's office. I don't know.
They slide out the little placard that says bishop's office and put up green room just for
like,
you.
This isn't as cool as I thought it was going to be. And there's a bunch of people in there that were going to play that night. And this girl comes in, and she's a very pretty girl and well-dressed and just seemed nice, and I start talking to her. She's like, hi, I'm Cassidy. I'm like, hi, Cassidy, I'm Tom. I'm like, well, what do you do? And she's like, oh, I'm a singer. And I'll keep in mind, everyone in Nashville's a singer.
Sure. Everyone plays a little guitar.
Everyone. Yeah.
I'm kind of a musician. Yeah, okay, what do you really do? Because I've never heard of you or, you know, any of those things.
And
everyone is
tables,
there.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, oh, cool. Well, you know, how's that going for you? She's like, and she just smiles like, oh, it's going well. Thanks. I'm like, oh, good for you. Good luck. Whatever. And so we're playing, you know, a few minutes later. She's up on stage. She starts singing. I'm like, oh, that's Cassidy Osborne of Shadazy.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea. So totally made a fool of myself with her. And fortunately, we're friends now, and we can laugh about it. But so that was my first experience with the Mormon Church.
So where did it go from there? You play the fireside.
Yeah, play guitar on the stand, which I realized I wasn't allowed to do, but I didn't know that. So
it's all right.
They asked me to play, so I did it.
Get away with it while you can. That's what I say.
You are right.
We're very forgiving of non-members. Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
They're investigating. Yeah, which, by the way, we've got to. We're trying to get a better word for that. We're on the campaign.
Yeah.
We don't like the word investigator for someone.
Prospect.
See, and the term that I've resided with is Mo Curious.
Oh, yes, I like that. That's one nice. I like.
Mo Curious, very
Mo
nice.
Curious.
So what from there? Then you did the fireside.
So I did the fireside, and so I got to know her. And
you were dating her, or you just got to know
not
her?
Not yet. We were okay. Just working
trying
towards
to.
That. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Courting, if you will.
Courting.
Wooing, pitching
probably
woo.
Trying to. And I was actually at a bar one night, and I met this guy, and it was this karaoke bar, and turns out he's LDS as well.
We're all over.
Apparently. And yeah. I mean, I'm in the Bible Belt. I mean, everyone in the Nashville is, I mean, the church is strong there, but not that strong. And so I'm writing with him one day, writing a song with him. And
what's his name?
His name's Paul Dawson. He lives here, actually.
Okay.
And so I'm like, Paul, you're a Mormon. He's like, yeah, I am. And I'm like, did you go on a mission? He's like, yeah, I did. I'm like, dude, I think that's awesome. Like, you know, when you're 19 or wherever you are to give up 2 years of your life, you know, when you're 19, 2 years is like an eternity.
Sure.
I'm like, for you to do that, just to go preach something that you really don't even know is true, that's, man, good for you. I think that's great. And he's like, well, Tom, I thank you, but, you know, I knew it was true. And I was like, what are you talking about? You can't know it's true. He's like, no, you can. And he told me about Moroni's promise. He's like, yeah, there's a scripture in this Book of Mormon that says if you read this book and you pray about it, and you ask God with real intent, and I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Sure.
It's like God will tell you that it's true. And I'm like, what are you? God shows up in the room and tells you it's true? I mean, I was totally giving him a hard time.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it for a second.
Sure.
I mean, I grew up religious, and I prayed to God every day, but I never in a million years imagined I could ask God a question and he'd give me an answer. And so he's like, no, you just know. It's hard to explain how you know, but you know it's God giving you an answer. I'm like, well, I don't believe you for a second, but... just in case I'm wrong, how do I do it? I want to try.
Covering your bases.
And this is all happening in the bar?
No, this
right?
is at my... This is I met him in a
later.
Bar.
I'm oh, like, okay. Yeah, the bar.
That would make a much Jack better Daniels. Story.
I'm like, good brother. What was his name? Dawson?
Yeah.
He's like, I went on a mission. Bum, bum, bum. Good times never seem so... Yeah, it was great.
I'm in a bar in Nashville. Okay, keep going.
That'd be a much better story, but no, this is at my house by this point. And... so I was like, yeah, I think you're crazy, but, you know, I've been wrong before. How do I do it? And he's like, well, this is a good return missionary. He pulled out a book of Mormon. He's like, start reading this book. And I'm like, the whole thing?
Yeah. That's
and,
a big book.
He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right. And so I started reading the Book of Mormon. And it had nothing to do with the church, with Mormons. I just wanted to talk to God. He said, yeah, you can ask God a question, and he'll give you an answer. And I didn't realize it was about anything. I thought it was just about the Book of Mormon. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And so the only reason I started reading the Book of Mormon is because I wanted to ask God a question and get an answer.
Cool.
Nothing to do with the church at all.
And so then?
So.
And then?
I'm trying to give you the Reader's Digest version. It's a long story. But so I started going to church with this girl.
Now, at this point, are you dating?
Still trying or dating?
Scratching backs in sacrament meeting. That's what I want to know. Was
no,
she?
No?
So not dating.
Okay. I'm still trying to just claw my way in. And she told me about fast and testimony meeting. And I'm like, oh, I got to see this. I thought it'd be funny. The only reason I went to church was because I thought fast and testimony sounded funny. I'm like, oh, these people are going to get up and talk about how they like the church. Oh, this should be good. And so I went.
Sometimes it is funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wasn't let down. And I've been going ever since.
Okay.
Wow.
And I mean, yeah, I miss one or two here or there. But because when I sat down for my first sacrament meeting, you know, they they start the thing, and I'm just trying to impress this girl.
Sure.
That's all I'm trying to do. I start crying. Like, I'm just like what's wrong with me? Why am I crying? And, you know, this girl's like a cowgirl. It's all tough. I'm trying to impress her. I'm crying. And I didn't know why. I didn't know what the spirit was. I didn't know what was going on. And for like a month, every Sunday, I'm like, I don't want to go to church because I cry. I don't know why. I'm like, maybe I'm just emotional, you know?
Right.
But like, hey, we're having a barbecue tonight. I'm like, oh, it's a barbecue tonight. I'm like, I'm not emotional about that. I don't care. Why am I crying? And I finally learned it was the spirit. So I just started thinking, wow, something. Okay, clearly I'm supposed to be here. And I just kept going to church and kind of line upon line, precept upon precept. I learned. And so many small miracles like that happened. Like one day I'd be thinking, so they don't drink. I wonder why not. Wonder what this is all about. The next Sunday they talk about the word of wisdom. And then I'm like, yeah, I don't really understand the atonement. The next Sunday they talk about the atonement. I mean.
So you were leading the church meetings.
Were you one of those Mo curious guys where the missionaries, finally when the missionaries came, you were like that golden contact where you're like, yes, I will be baptized.
I was better. No one ever approached me because they all thought I was a member of the church.
Oh,
really?
When I finally asked to take discussions, they were like, oh, you're not a member? I'm like, no, I have no idea what I'm doing.
And they're like, dun, dun, dun.
You're like, guys, I'd really like to be a part of this. Is someone going to ask me or what?
You know, I'd really like to learn about this church. I wish there was a way to do so.
Anybody got missionaries here? Someone? Nobody?
Please, teach me. Next week.
Exactly. So I don't know how that happened because these are great missionaries. But yeah, I mean, it's like every question I had, it was answered like the next day. And then when I was reading the Book of Mormon, it's just too long of an answer. They kept talking about like the tribes of Israel, and I didn't know what the tribes of Israel were. And it got to the point like I don't understand this, and I stopped reading the Book of Mormon. So I called my missionary friend. His name is Elder Kleiman, and I'm like, "Hey, can I talk to you tomorrow?" He's like, "Yeah." And so I go over to his house, and I'm like, "What are the tribes of Israel? I'm having trouble." And he just looks at me like with this blank stare. I'm like, "What is that? Like something you don't talk about?" He's like, "Tom, my missionary president called me last night and told me to prepare a lesson on the tribes of Israel." So I was up all night doing that.
Jeez.
It was for me. Wow. I mean, he never had to teach it again.
Huh.
I could go on for the next 3 hours and tell you stories like this. I mean, just a series of little miracle after little miracle. I'm like, wow. And I started feeling like, I felt bad. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, like Heavenly God or Heavenly Father. I didn't know what to call him at the time. This is for me. He's really trying to,
he wants to
teach me something.
Yeah.
And so I'll fast forward through all that. But one day I was still reading the Book of Mormon, and I started feeling the spirit because I kind of figured out what that felt like, and I just felt like I should ask. So I got down on my knees and I asked everything. Is this Book of Mormon really from God? Is Jesus Christ really leading this church? Is everything? And I got an answer so powerful that I thought I was having a heart attack.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. My chest burned so bad. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I sick? It was so strong. I really thought I was having a heart attack. And I mean, just that clearness of your mind and that burning in your heart, it just was so strong that I couldn't deny it. And my whole problem all along was, how do you know that these things you quote unquote feel are from God?
Mm-hmm.
And
good question.
Paul kept telling me, you know, and I knew. Huh. And much like Joseph Smith said, and God knew that I knew.
Yes.
And so my next question was, oh, does that mean I have to join the church?
Yeah.
And sure enough, I got a very strong yes. So I picked up the phone. I called the missionaries. I said, hey, this is Tom. I'd like to get baptized.
Cool.
So question, did you ever date the girl?
Yes.
Okay.
How did that go?
For like a month.
Oh.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just glad you got a date.
My dog died when I was six. You want to talk about that too?
No, I'm sure that's in one of your songs, right?
Hey.
Many, actually. Yeah. She's married and has kids, and we're great friends to this day.
And I'm so happy for her that she found someone that would make her happy, right? Is that how this story goes?
I actually am. Yeah, we're still very good friends.
That's how I feel about Richie.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm the one that got away from Lauren.
That's really sad. Because, actually, no, us dating was a mistake. We both agree. For both of us, we're like, okay, let's just do a podcast.
Yeah. Sometimes you just know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I knew quick. Hey, Johnny.
Yo.
Tell us your story then. Are you lifer?
A lifer, so to speak. Yeah.
Kind of in and out.
Yeah. It's. I've never been a person. Like, I grew up in Idaho, and I've never been a person who was ever did anything like major drugs or gangs or. And that kind of stuff. But there was a time where I had an experience kind of like Tom, where I had a lot of death in my family. and doubted a lot. I was just like, this is a bunch of crap. And anyway, so I went through this a period of time where I didn't necessarily believe if there was a God. And if there was a God, why in the world would he care about some little kid in Idaho? And I just went through that period of time. And my experience was kind of like a gradual thing, because I grew up with the church. I knew the scriptures really, really well. My mom was, you always had those scripture stories at night, and so ingrained in my brain.
Did you have the felt board and the whole deal?
Yes.
Yeah.
I ruined
yeah.
it, unfortunately. But
See, Tom doesn't know
he doesn't
it
know
is.
Any of this stuff. Like the primary and all the horrible, yeah, the awkward things board. With the primary. And actually, I'm just kidding. I loved it. But anyways, there came a time when I had I was kind of so-so. Sorry about that. With the church and where to go and what to do, and when I was thinking about going on a mission or not, if that's really for me, I went on splits with this one missionary who was a little bit mentally slower. Really, really nice guy, but just was socially awkward and all this other stuff. And when you're 17 in high school, you know, you're like, I don't want to go out with some socially awkward missionary. That's
sure.
ridiculous. But he went, we actually went over to teach one of my inactive friends, and he bore one of the strongest testimonies of just God being aware of him as a person. That's when I felt, I was like, oh, that's cool. And I wanted to know that the Lord was aware of me the same way he was aware of him. And I went through the same thing when I was just trying to find out where and how that's possible and really develop a connection with God. So it's not just this ambiguous, he's out there and I know he loves me. It was, to me, I saw a lot of church members have a head trip so that in their minds they're like, yeah, I know it, but it wasn't here. It wasn't in the hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I went through that experience and asked for it to know, like he was saying, you just know when you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I experienced that and eventually went on a mission and had a lot of hard but really good experiences where I had my own Garden of Gethsemane moments and really, really connected with God, so that now when I pray or do anything with the Lord, I know exactly where to go, how to do it, that's and awesome. Move forward. You know,
where did
so.
You serve?
Oh, yeah.
I went on the Navajo Reservation for a couple years.
Wow.
Obviously.
Where, that's cool.
Where yeah. is that?
In Arizona, New Mexico.
Okay.
So it was way, way fun.
That's really neat.
And just been trying to be active, be the best I can since then, you know. So
how long you been home?
Goodness gracious, 11 years, 10 years.
It's one of those things where you always have to go, 10 years.
Well, you think,
has it been that long?
When you think about missionary terms, though, it should be something like 123 months or something yeah. like that, because you usually think about that. You know?
I've been home 97 transfers.
Because that's what you think when you're missionary. You know, I've sure. been out for uh-huh. whatever. But
where in Idaho are you from?
Idaho Falls.
Okay, I had to ask because I'm like an Idaho girl now. I just lived for 2 years in Pocatello.
Nice.
So
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Pocatello's
yeah,
you know. Lovely.
Do you know what, though? That's what all the Idaho Falls people will say about Pocatello, but all
it
the
is,
Salt Lakers will say that about Idaho Falls.
That's also true.
But that, isn't Idaho Falls where that really good pancake place is right by the river?
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Can
babe.
I get one? Amen. Ashley, let's find out about you. What's
okay.
your story? What's your
well,
deal?
Well, I'm originally from Spanish Fork, Utah.
Are you a Don?
I am a Don. I was a Don.
A mighty Don of Spanish Fork. That's their mascot, Tom. It's not a Mormon
no
thing.
No one knows what a Don is.
You haven't heard about
that
Don?
Made a name.
Yeah, I was like, is that a middle name? How'd you know
it's
that?
It's apparently a Spanish conquistador, which it actually isn't, but that's what we interpreted the Don as.
Yeah, we just make it up whatever. Oh, we need a mascot. How about the Dons? All right, what is it? It's a African warrior.
Think of Zorro. That was our mascot. And I actually grew up in Spanish Fork and grew up in the church. I did live out in South Carolina for about 4 years. I actually moved out to South Carolina for a boy.
Yeah.
Who, he was inactive in the church at the time.
Shame on you. I'm just kidding.
But I really liked him. We were in a band together. And he
what kind of band?
A rock band.
Really?
Yes. Yes. He had blue hair.
That's awesome.
And I just thought he was just the cutest boy ever. And
she had a mohawk back then, by the way.
I didn't. But he decided that he wanted to be a helicopter pilot. And so he moved out to South Carolina. And I was actually going to move out to Nashville. And it just, everything kind of fell through. I had a job there. I had a place to live. And it just kind of all fell through. And I had the feeling that I should go out to South Carolina and be with this boy. So his name was Wyatt. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, Wyatt.
Yeah.
I have stories about
such
Wyatt.
A strong name. Yeah. I know.
I'm in love with Wyatt. I love him. I'm going to South Carolina.
No, my mom
for
seriously
Wyatt.
Wanted to kill me. So, but I did. I moved out to South Carolina, and we got married. And actually, we were married for a year and a half, and he was a helicopter pilot, and he was actually in a helicopter accident, and he was killed in a helicopter accident
oh, wow.
about a year and a half after we were married. And so I really struggled a lot after that, you know, because we were married in the temple, and I thought mm-hmm. I had a testimony. And after that happened, I just really struggled. And
was it struggling with the why did this have to happen to me? I thought I was abiding the rules, that kind of thing, or what was the?
Well, it actually was, you know, what did I do to cause this? And why would this happen? I had lost my eternal perspective, really. Mm-hmm. And so I really struggled for about 6 months. I stayed out in South Carolina for about 6 months after it happened. And I just kept feeling like it wasn't the place that I should be. I had a job there and everything, but it just didn't feel right. And so I kind of had a moment kind of like Tom and Johnny had, where I finally just got down on my knees and just prayed and said, you know, what do I need to do with my life now? I'm a 22-year-old widow, but essentially I'm a 22-year-old single girl.
Sure.
But, you know, I've got to move on with my life. And I got the strongest answer to come back to Utah. I mean, and it was like you said, where the burning was so strong in your chest that you feel like something's wrong. And I didn't really want that answer. I didn't want to come back to
Utah. No.
Like, please, no, no, not Utah.
Let me try this again.
Anyway,
come on.
Okay, ignorance tell me somewhere bliss. Else but Utah. No, and I just knew that that's where I needed to be. And so I did. I moved back to Utah. And the day that I moved back, I actually met my husband that I'm married to now.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, it was a really interesting experience for me.
God does know what he's doing.
Yeah,
he
right? How did that happen? I want to know that.
I do, too.
How did we meet?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, actually, we had met in high school, and we didn't really date in high school, but he ended up being college roommates with my best friend from high school. And so when I came back from South Carolina, I went over to my best friend's house to see him, and McLean, who's my husband, he was there, and they were roommates. And so it was an instant connection.
I'd like to marry you, McLean. Okay,
yeah.
He said.
Well, that's not really, we actually dated for 2 years, but I
so
knew.
So not like Utah County at all then.
I know. It's very unlike Utah County. So, but I had also been married before, and you know, there were, so we did, we dated for 2 years, and but I knew I wanted to marry him the second I met him.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
That never happens to me.
You got to work on that.
I know, I'm sorry.
it can work for you like it did with me and my wife, where the second she met me, she knew she didn't want to marry me. That's a true story. I'll tell
you. Turn that around.
Persistence, you know.
Stubbornness.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we talk about in the church about how sometimes you just have to keep doing what's right, and then people will wear down. That's kind of how that worked with my wife. I just, come on, please. No, please, come on. No, please. All right, if
okay.
You'll stop asking me, yes, we can get married.
The old squeaky wheel. Right?
Yeah, see?
Nice work.
Coming back in the third block of the Culture Hall, we're going to get these guys to play for us, to talk a little bit about your music and you know, what's going on for you guys now. All right, coming back in the third block of the Culture Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
People ask me why I don't seem to mind. Give up so much for my faith. They focus on the bad and never see the other half. The blessings that I feel when I obey. I was asked to sacrifice certain things in my life. Let go of how I lived before. And when I did, I learned what I got in return was more, so much more. think about, but I gave up. It's like I gave a candle and he gave me the sun. Some gifts look like gold, but are so oversold. When you get them, you're let down. Well, this gift's the opposite, yeah. One I didn't know exists. All the love and peace that I'm feeling now, all because I sacrificed certain things in my life. Let go of how I lived before. And when I did, I learned what I got in return was more, so much more. When I think about what I gave up, it's like I gave a candle and he gave me the sun. Now I didn't know it worked this way. I guess some blessings come only after faith. We are asked to sacrifice certain things in our lives. The goal of how we lived before. And when we do, we learn what we get.